Yeah, we're not feeling too well tonight, but probably a good thing we didn't, because we weren't feeling well last night, and I don't know how long the priest is. Sometime we'd have been feeling good in body, we might have been here till in the morning sometime. We sometimes wonder why things happen as they do. I went and I held revival in North Carolina once, and on the way out there, I guess one of the kids must have picked up a bug in at one of the places we ate or something, but I can remember being so sick to my stomach and being in the bathroom. I just thought I was going to pass out before we got up and preached. And you'd think if he's doing the Lord's work, things would be easy. At least I do. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, the Lord's testing you, see if, to see if you'll be faithful. No, the Lord knows whether we're faithful or not. But as he told Job, he told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? The Lord don't have to place anything in our life to know who we are. He already knows who we are. But I'm thankful that there's many a times in our life that he reveals to Daryl who he is. He communicates to Daryl, I know who you are, and I'm thankful of that, as well as communicating to Satan himself that the Lord still has children that are faithful to him even when the going ain't easy. We're going to read in 2 Kings. We've got a lot of messages on the internet now, and I guess the downside to that is, which it's an advantage to some, but maybe not to preachers, but you can get on that website, and you can get on our website, and you can punch in a particular verse, a book, chapter, and verse, and it'll pull up all the times that was preached. Well, you know, I think I preached on this a while back. Well, if I really want to know, I can go on there and I can find out exactly when it did. And but we're not worried about that. I've yet to do that, because what's the point? We're here this week, and we're having a series of meetings, and my heart's desire is that at the end of the week that this church will truly be revived. But you know, I attend here regular, and if the Lord would have sent a man 1,000 miles away, who say he wouldn't preach on the same thing? But that's what's so wonderful and beautiful about God's Word, is that that He can reveal. It's not so much when we come together that we might know what's in God's Word, but that God's Word might know us, or God's Word might reveal what's in us. And that's the beauty of it, because I can look in the mirror today and I can think that I'm looking pretty good for my age, and 10 years from now I'm not going to be looking at the same face. You say, well, yes you are. Well, okay, I will be looking at the same face, but it won't be looking the same. And that's why it's good from time to time, even if we look back right in the same chapter of a particular passage, because hopefully we have changed, hopefully for the better. It says in the 2 Kings in the 20th chapter, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It says in the first verse, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, this is Hezekiah now, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thine tears, behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Okay, now this is a passage of Scripture. You can find this over in the Chronicles as well, or Isaiah. And here we have almost an exact account what we find in Isaiah as we do here. That Hezekiah was sick unto death, and then it said that the prophet. Well, this was just not any prophet. This was one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah. That he come and he had told Hezekiah that the Lord said, "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." And my desire is tonight, is if you would just tarry with us a little bit. That we ourselves would put ourselves in the place of Hezekiah. How would you respond if you were sick unto death? Have you ever been so sick that you thought? I've heard people request prayer for somebody. I've heard people being sick in the hospital, and they get to diagnose them what is wrong. And you hear people talking, and they say, "Oh well, I'm afraid it don't look good. I'm afraid it looks like he might have cancer." We have a man here that the Bible says was sick unto death. I don't know what old Hezekiah was thinking about. Let us place ourselves in his position. How would you feel if you were sick unto death? I know myself. Sometimes I try to keep a positive outlook. I tell myself that things are going to get better. But yet we know that he was sick unto death. And then here come the prophet of the Lord. Maybe Hezekiah sat up in bed. Maybe thought, "This is the answer I've been looking for." I don't believe Hezekiah was a man that started praying after he got the news. But I believe Hezekiah was a praying man. So I wonder when he see old Isaiah coming to him, if he thought, "Oh, this is the answer I've been looking for. I don't know what's wrong with me. You're going to die, as it says here, "For thou shalt die and not live." All right, pal, if you was to get that message tonight, what would you do? Would you be okay with it? You know what? I believe we ought to live alive so that when the death angel comes, we can say, "Well, glory to God, he's finished with me." But he was a man, no doubt, like me and you, wanted to see maybe his grandchildren, maybe had a grandchild yet to be born, still in the mother's womb. But he turned his face, the Bible says, to the wall, and he began to pray. Why is he praying, Daryl? He was sick unto death. Why is he praying, Daryl? In all the Old Testament, come to him and said, "Get your house in order." Well, I'm thankful. That's how we do. How we get our house in order is turn our face, as old Isaiah did, up to the wall and begin to pray. What would you tell your God if that prophet Isaiah would come to your house tonight? Could you tell him, as Isaiah did, "Oh Lord, I'm trying to live by thy statutes. Oh Lord, I put my trust in you. Oh Lord, I tore down the idols in my nation." But we find one here that, as it seemed like, when the day started, a man nigh unto death.
A man with no choices, but yet a man that prayed. If you wanted to, you could turn over in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, the 21st verse, and it says, and Elijah said to all the people, and came to all the people and said, how long will ye halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Two roads we see here. Hezekiah's situation seemed to be grim. But yeah, even though when the prophet came, when he turned his face to the wall and his heart to his God, we find where the Lord promised him 15 more years. Sounds like some would have said, Hezekiah, you ain't got no choice about it. Maybe that's what the devil's telling you tonight. You've lived your life so long, and now it's time. It would seem as if and the Bible says, be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And there are some heartaches when we reap sin. But I want to tell you tonight, if you would but turn your face to God, yes, your face to the wall, turn it from the world, and turn your heart to the Lord, that He will answer prayer, and He will help you bear the burdens you've got to bear. You don't have to bear them alone. But let us not be as those when Elijah said, how long will you halt between two opinions? I believe it says over in Joel in the last chapter, the multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Can you imagine standing in a valley two ways? How long will you stand there? Life is passing you by, and you stand there, and you would look and say, I don't know whether I need to go down this road or that road. But what we've got before us tonight is the same thing that was faced facing Hezekiah. We've got life and death. I pray to God that every one of us would choose life, because it's vitally important for our welfare. Right. You know, I can remember being around some, and maybe I'm in that way myself a little bit, but hating to make a decision. We see some people, they call it procrastinators, for one reason or another. They put off what they could do today till tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do it tomorrow. It's your song. That tomorrow's always a day away. Well, you know, that's true. But yet there is a decision that every man, every woman, man, child, everyone that's ever walked the face of this earth is going to have to make. And my prayer is that we might make it in this life, that we might be as Hezekiah and turn our heart to the Lord, that the Lord would give us an opportunity to choose Him, to choose life. Daryl, what are you trying to tell me? I've heard this so many times. I was wanting a revival. I was wanting something a little different. Looks like you're the only one to preach here, maybe. Well, that's okay. But if I've got to preach it 100 times, we're still standing in that valley of decision. Won't you just step forward? Won't you look to God and find that once you go down that way, it's not near as bad as you might think, because the two choices we've got is is what? The bed of affliction, the bed of death that Hezekiah laid on. But because he cried out to his God, and his God answered him, we find that he was promised 15 years. What are you wanting? What are you expecting of God? Well, I'll tell you what you need, and you tell me if it's the same thing you're wanting, because there's a lot of people that are wanting things from God that He ain't never going to give them. Because that it leads to a lot of heartache. We find that Isaiah said, it's in the 38th chapter of Isaiah, it's the same account where old Hezekiah was so sick that instead here. We've got a song or a writing. The Bible says of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, after he had been sick and was recovered, there was a man on his deathbed. And Isaiah told him 3 days later, you're going to be in the house of God. Well, I don't know about you, but anybody that's ever been sick, I can remember and my back out so bad that I couldn't even stand up, just the weight of my torso, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I tell my wife, honey, I've got it, we've got to go to the bathroom, and I place my arms over her neck, kind of ride her piggyback, just to take enough of that weight off, so I could get to the bathroom. I can remember, it was Sunday, and I wanted so bad to be in church, but I just had to, I couldn't even sit up, and I was laying in the bed. Listen, a lot of times we don't realize what we've got, and still we don't, still until we don't have it. And I was saying there, my wife, she went to church with the children, and I thought, Lord, just let me come back to your house. Just let me come back. Well, you know, that's what Isaiah told Hezekiah. But I wonder how many of those people that found themselves in the same place as Hezekiah, but because of whatever reason, they didn't turn their face to the wall and their heart to God. They just said, well, what will be, after all the brother of God that said, I'm going to die and not make their peace with their Lord. I wonder, just as it brought joy to Hezekiah's heart, that in 3 days he is going to be able to be in the house of God. How many in hell look up and wish and pray? My grandfather used to say, there's coming up to the biggest prayer meeting that the universe has ever known, and it'll be those people in hell looking up just praying for one more opportunity to go to church. But it'll be too late. The day to pray is today. There's still breath in our lungs, and still while we're one of the multitudes in the valley of decision. So what are you going to decide? Or what are you deciding? I see a lot of people who would like to think that it's a one-time decision. All I've got to do is decide this, and everything will be all right. Oh, you know, I'm thankful that when I come to the Lord, that was a monumental decision in my life. Not that I decided to be good, and not that I decided to be saved. Because, see,
It wasn't in my mind. It wasn't in my doings. But I decided to yield to the dealing of the Holy Spirit. And that was a decision that I can look back as we was preaching. I believe it was Sunday. And look back, or maybe it was Monday night. And I can take the world, the devil, and anybody else to that decision I made. But you know why? Why I'm here tonight is because of the decisions I made today. You know, you could say, well, Darrell, isn't it true that you're here tonight because you were born again way back there in the 80s? Well, yes, but there's a progression there that each and every one of us will not leave that valley of decision until we reach Mount Zion. But I'm thankful that with every decision, if we would just surrender it to the Lord. I used to war with it. I used to say, Darrell, are you going to do the right thing? Darrell, you need to do the right thing. But it was within me, as it says in Amos, can two walk together unless they agree? That's what the world's afraid about today. That's why they're not ready to make a decision for Christ. But if you'll just surrender and say, Lord, I'm through with making my own decisions. I want to surrender myself to you. Lord, you make it. Then the battle's already won. With each and every obstacle in my life, it's not the same thing over and over. Do I submit or do I not? But we make a decision to submit to Christ, to surrender everything to Him. Our life, our hopes, our dreams, our will. And when we do, we can find there is a peace that the Bible speaks about that few people experience today. I see it, and unfortunately you don't have to go out to the places of the world on a Saturday night to see it. But you can go to churches throughout the United States and elsewhere where people, you can just look into their eyes and you can see that there's fear, there's worry, and they're truly scared because they just don't know what to do. But if I could give you a word of encouragement, see, because if I was to know each doubt and everyone's heart that might be here tonight, how could I answer them all? But to answer them as Hezekiah found peace. Man that truly looked like God was finished with, that he had served his life and had done whatever he was to do, and now it was his time to die. I don't know of any greater fear that can enter a man's life than the fear of death. Yet through it all, Hezekiah prayed. And that's what the Lord would have us do. Why is it that the nature of man, that we get in trouble, and it's not the case with all, but I've seen those that get in trouble and they withdraw from their wife, from their children, from their loved ones, and they go off almost to isolate themselves as an island. Why is that? I see others that are truly recluses, that's had troubles in life, because of alcohol or some other reason. some other mind-altering drug, or that you give them a little drink and they just, you can't get them to shut up. Just talk and talk. You've heard about them. Maybe you know somebody. Maybe you was like that. And they just tell a perfect stranger all their problems. Here on the one hand, you've got a man that you would think he'd tell his family what his problems are, and he recoils away. On the other hand, you have someone that's not very vocal at all, but because of the situation, tell a stranger all of their problems. Why is it? Because it's in the heart of every human being to cry out to God. But the man that pulls away from his family knows that his family cannot do nothing for him. So what's the point in telling him? What's the point in worrying? To which I might have to agree. But we have a God that we can cry out to. It does me no good to tell my 6-year-old, my 3-year-old, things at the factory are looking pretty rough. I don't know if I'm going to have a job, honey. But when I take my concerns to the Lord, it makes a difference.
Right.
Then you have the one, as we've already mentioned, the one that would pour their heart out to a stranger. I would just ask you to pour your heart out to your God. For He is not a stranger.
Right.
He knows you better than you know yourself. Been reading some books about the art of apologetics, which is really how one might attempt to persuade someone to be a Christian. And you know, there's several different ways that we can go about it. We can show somebody the handiwork of creation. And I don't care what you believe, even scientists that have no beliefs, because we've got microscopes that are so powerful. You know, when the doctrine of evolution come about, we could see bacteria, but we couldn't see a virus. And Darwin was an atheist. And can you imagine living in a culture where everybody believed in God? Not necessarily Jesus Christ, but they believed in a God as creator. Can you imagine the climate that there would be as an atheist when people would talk about that and somebody said, "Well, I don't believe in God." And they'd just laugh at you. "Well, what do you mean you don't believe in God? How did we get here?" Darwin wasn't a scientist that come to a conclusion because of all of his scientific evidence. He was an atheist looking for a means in which he could explain away the existence of God. He didn't have a microscope as we do today. They didn't even know what DNA, my understanding is, they didn't even know what DNA is. But you know that there are scientists now that are writing papers basically because of their worldview. They believe there is no God. But yet, when they look underneath those things in a microscope, and they are so detailed to the most minute particle, how can these things happen by chance? And because of it, there are some that are greatly perplexed. I was listening on the radio, and there's some that are proposing a theory because of that, because they're still yet unwilling to believe in God the Creator as portrayed in the Bible. I heard one man on a late night talk show, and he's got, I don't know, he's, what do you call those professors that once they're there, they're there, and you can't get rid of them. but you know what? He's been a professor for so long. He's got I don't know how many different degrees from different colleges, and he's come to the conclusion with the evidence at hand that somehow we were placed by a supernatural being here on this earth, and he pretty much is saying we were placed by aliens, and you know the conversation was and people was calling in, and it broke my heart as so many of them said, well, I know that evolution just can't be right, and they were yet willing to believe some egghead from some foreign universe placed us there. Well, you know, I can take the Bible, and I could eloquently, the Lord gave me that talent to persuade you that the account in Genesis is the most believable of all of the theories. But what it comes down to is, will you believe in God? Will you? It's a matter of the will. Just bow your knee. Just bow your head and say, God, the God of Hezekiah, I'm down here and I need your help. And if you but just reach out your hand to him, you'll find that his faith will increase your faith, that he who he is, that he can reach down and stir you to the mire of your bone, to where you can say beyond a shadow of any doubt, I know you're real. I know that you are not only the God of the universe, but my Savior and my risen Lord. But you must surrender. You must turn your face to the wall and cry out to your God. Well, let's get some song to sing. We're tired tonight, but my desire is that the Lord, though he has placed two decisions before you, that you'll quit halting and tarrying. Life is passing us by. There is lost loved ones, your lost loved ones, that we need to see saved. But still, yeah, you're there, standing as it were with Elijah when he asked you, whom are you going to serve? Will it be the God of Israel or Baal? And they answered him not a word. Will you tonight? Daryl, I might believe if the Lord would do with me what he done with Hezekiah. If you read, you'll know what the Bible says. Hezekiah said, well, how will I know that to be true? Isaiah said, well, the sundial can go forwards or backwards. Hezekiah said, well, it'd be a small thing for it to go forwards. I'll let it go backwards 10 degrees. And it did. And that's a miracle. You say, well, if the Lord would do that for me, let's look at what he's done. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Genesis, there in the first chapter, it says, let us make man. They were close, God the Father and the Son. But yet he sent him down here on this earth. And there's not been a greater miracle than the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The rich man said, as he looked in hell with the flames tormenting him, he said, send back Lazarus that he might warn my brothers. Abraham said, though there would be one that returned from the dead.
They did not believe Abraham, Moses and the prophets. They'll not believe one, though he returned from the dead. Is that true of you? You know, I've known a lot of people that had a deathbed repentance. I don't believe in them. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord does give some an opportunity on their deathbed. But we have no promise of that.
Right.
That's enough, Michelle. Because the sad thing about it is, you know why it occurred to Hezekiah to pray? Because he is a praying man. Just walk through these nursing homes in our community. You'll see all manners of sorts, physical disabilities. Some of them very close to death. Some of them so full of hatred that all they can do is just spew curses to God. And that when troubles come, their natural reaction is to curse God and not pray out to Him, call out.